And welcome into another edition of Spits and Suds. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. And as we get you ready, the days are counting down for this season opener Thursday night in Nashville. There is a new Substack that I'm excited about, and you should be excited about as well. The first of many articles just went up titled, "What Am I Doing Here? Why Does a Guy Who's Happy to Be Out of the Public Eye Want Back In?" Stars fans, collectively, please welcome on to Spits and Suds the 25-year voice of the franchise. Still looking young, still looking spry, still looking good. He's got that desert kind of clean face look. I mean, the man, the yeah. Substack is called Ralph Stack. It's Ralph Strangis.
Hey.
How are you?
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you for having me. Good to see you again. Good to talk to all my Stars friends too. This is going to be some fun.
Yeah, I love the name Ralph Stack. That is, you know, simplified but yet genius.
Well, and nobody had it.
That's amazing.
So apparently there are no Ralphs writing for Substack that decided that Ralph Stack might be the thing to go with. I, you know, inspired by Sturm Stack.
Yeah.
And aren't we all just sort of following in the footsteps of our leader, Sports Sturm? And so Sturm Stack, now it's Ralph Stack. I'm really excited. I'm having to learn the technology, and I put a team together here, and so I'm ready to go, man. This is going to be a fun year, and I think people are going to be surprised about me. Everyone knows me kind of one way, and what I'm about to do and where I'm about to take it. So Substack is the first piece of it, and we're up, and October 8th post heading into the season, the very first one that people are going to kind of understand where I'm going is the Devil's Hockey Dictionary.
Nice.
And so you know, I got some really interesting things planned. I'm very excited about
this. Well, I like that you said the team aspect, because you could do it all by yourself, but I love that you're taking a step back and saying, hey, I want to do some analytics work. I want to, you know, I want to be a critic. I want to be opinionated. What I also love is in the article you talk about that fans are going to get unfiltered, unplugged Ralph and get to know you in a new way, which I think is really cool, because I think a lot of people have wondered what happened to Ralph Strangis and what has he been doing, because – you know, listen, I'm going to pump your tires for a second. I mean, your calls are iconic. You live
do
in
it.
Yeah. Your calls live in hockey and Stars folklore.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they know me, right? And they know me. I mean, I'm different now, right? I'm older. I'm 63. You know, I think I look 62 and I don't feel a day over 61. So as I look back on my career of 30 some years ago, and when I started with the Minnesota North Stars and to where I am today, you know, you change as you get older too. You're not the same person. And with the experiences I've had and in Dallas, you know, the show was kind of one way. I was the straight man. It developed into an I was the straight man, and Razor was, you know, the comic relief and more. You know, he was the analyst. I was the straight caller. He used to joke, just identify the players and shut the hell up, will you? And so that was kind of our model, right? Like, I'd call the game and he'd pop in with his stuff. And you know, but now I get to be my own guy here in the hockey sphere, in a way that I've never been before. When you work for someone else, you are constrained by how they see you, how they view you, what the corporate mantras are, what the messaging is. And it's, and especially these days, it's hard to kind of operate outside that box, outside those boxes. So what I'm really excited about is the opportunity, because it is 2024. You know, Gavin, we'll get into why am I doing this now, right? But I kind of thought about, well, you know, I've always been on the air for somebody. And I've always worked kind of for somebody, or I've done freelance gigs and it's a one-off business. You do a game, you get paid for a game. But kind of the full circle moment for me now is kind of the last frontier is, why wouldn't I produce my own content and produce my own podcast and produce my own YouTube show? Because we can do those things now without having to have somebody hire me to do it. And I'm leaning hard to start this into my old milieu, which is hockey and Dallas Stars and the Dallas Stars fan base. And so far I've had just really nice acceptance again, sure, from people who have put out their arms and said, we're really happy to have you back. I don't have an agenda here. I'm not pimping for anybody else. So this is my stuff, man. I mean, this is my stuff. I'm going to be me. And I think some people will be, whoa, is that really, you know, I mean, I'm probably going to use a little profanity, which you can't use on the, you know, which you can't use that one in my writing.
Right.
You can't use it on the air in a lot of places, but I'm in the camp of, Oscar Wilde said, books are not moral or immoral. They're well-written or poorly written. That is it. You know, and I say words are not good or bad. They're properly used or improperly used. And that's it. So I'm really interested to explore my vocabulary and some of the ways I put things too. That'll be fun.
You mentioned North Stars, and this is one of the many reasons I was excited to talk to you, because Sean and I were talking on Friday, Sean Shapiro, who appears on the program once a week. And, yeah, you know, yep. I mean, there's a scroll that a scribe needs to read as far as the stuff Sean Shapiro is doing now, which is great because he's really good at what he does. And one of the things that we were talking about, because we were having a conversation, and I'll ask you about this in a moment as a follow-up, but Hockey News came out with their Mount Rushmore as far as Dallas Stars, and that led to banners up in the rafters. And Sean and I both agreed that there should be a Minnesota North Stars banner. It could be generic, but just some kind of banner that recognizes. And I brought up the example, Ralph, when I was working in Houston in sports radio, I got to know Dan Pastorini, Robert Brazil, Dante, Carl Mock, the old center for the Houston Oilers. And these men, which were Love Ya Blue icons for the Oilers, had no home because Nashville wanted to move on. The new Houston Texans wanted to move on. So they were just kind of in limbo. And I think of names like Cicerelli, Bobby Smith, Brian Bellows, names like that. And there's really not something in North Stars history that I think a lot of Dallas Stars know about. And the second thing, as I'm rambling here, is I really feel as though either the Dallas Stars need to use the North Stars logo for a throwback or allow Minnesota. And at least the merchandise fee can go to Dallas. But we have Quebec out now and it's more popular than ever. We have the Hartford Whalers logo that's flying. And I wanted to get your thoughts as far as the Minnesota North Stars folklore here in Dallas and what they should do.
Well, it's interesting you ask, because I have a lot of opinions about this and I shared them with my organization over the years. It appears to me, and since we've been here, that since the Stars have been there, I'm not affiliated, by the way, with the Dallas Stars. Let me kind of preface everybody with that. I have no relationship with them, good or bad. They're not paying me to do anything. I'm not on the payroll. I'm not nothing, right? I'm not estranged. I just have a neutral relationship with them because they're doing their thing now and I'm doing my thing now. But I think the Stars have always been one foot in, one foot out with this stuff. And I think they really need to decide what they want to do here. On the one hand, and where I lean is, nobody in Texas really cares about Bill Masterton, Bill Goldsworthy, Neil Broughton, the old history. They really don't. However, the franchise roots are back in Minnesota. This is part of our lore. We do some things and not others. We have all the records carried over in the record books. Okay, so anything that happened on the Minnesota North Stars watch is also part of the statistical tale of the franchise. But we don't, you know, we don't really proclaim it. I always said, and that's good that you and Sean were talking about this, I thought way back in the day when we moved into the new building, I brought up, why don't we make a Minnesota North Stars banner? Why don't we put it up in the rafters that says Norris Division champions, whatever years,
yep.
Adams Division champ, you know, they played all over the place. They played with the, in the division with the Buffalo Sabres way back when, right? I mean, that's how the league was in the 12-team league. And just to have an acknowledgement with the NSTAR logo up there, and then next to it, what I would put is a banner with the three retired numbers, NSTAR numbers, right? Broughton 7, Goldsworthy 8, Masterton 19. My guess is some people might remember Broughton. No one can tell you in Dallas anything about Bill Goldsworthy. We didn't tell those stories.
Right.
Nobody can tell you much about Bill Masterton. Gee, isn't there a league award named after that? But I think I would do that. If it was me, I would put the North Stars banner up. I would put those titles up and I put the numbers up. And then I would re-release those numbers back into the Stars now. That the Dallas Stars, that 7, 8, and 19, in terms of Dallas, are wearable numbers. You know, I don't see any reason why we don't do that. Masterton is a little bit different, but because the league has no, let's say federalized program on the people that have awards, or even Gretzky. I remember one point, you know, we're going to retire 99, and that's it. Well, unlike Jackie Robinson's number 42, it doesn't hang anywhere. You know, 99 should hang, if the league is retired 99, it should hang in every building, and sure, it doesn't. So there's some real sloppy bookkeeping there. I really think if you polled the Stars fans and said, does anybody really give a shit about any of this stuff? The overwhelming response would be, I don't know. I don't know any of these guys. Yeah, I guess let's get the numbers back. Now, let's look at Minnesota, where Minnesota believes they were screwed. This is their franchise. This is their mark. And the NSTAR logo is one of the great logos.
Amazing.
In sports.
Yes.
It's that uniform, those colors. It's absolutely spectacular. And if the Stars aren't going to wear it, you know, if the Stars don't want to do third jerseys and all that, I know Minnesota has. It is my understanding that somehow the Dallas Stars and the Minnesota North Stars or the Minnesota Wild have struck an accord so that those things can be used and sold in Minnesota. So, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of good reasons on a business standpoint to hang on to the trademark, to hang on to the mark, to do everything you can to get the licensing fees. But with respect to, does anybody in Dallas, and I would want to wear that jersey sometimes, but if you don't, sell it, get rid of it, give it back to Minnesota, change the records in the book. You know, now Dallas Stars have been there now, I think it's 5 or 6 seasons longer than the Stars were in Minnesota. So there's a history here that has nothing to do with the North Stars. And I agree with you. They haven't addressed this significantly, and it's just kind of sitting out there, and it doesn't seem like they know what to do with it. So, you know, I'm in total agreement that this situation should be addressed, and we should clean it up. The Stars should clean it up, and the Minnesota Wild should, you know, be part of that process.
Okay, so Hockey News did come out, and Sean and I came up with our names, their Mount Rushmore, and Ralph, for clarity, it could be 3 players from the past, the caveat being one had to be currently with the team. They're Mount Rushmore, and I wanted to see if you would like to, because Sean has one that he'd like to add. Mike Modano, Zuboff, Yuri Lehtinen, and Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn being the player that's still playing.
Yeah, Mike Modano, Sergei Zuboff,
Yuri
Lehtinen, and then because they have to name someone now, Jamie Benn. Those 3 are really good, and I'll tell. And The first three are really good because Madonna, of course, like me, carries both membership cards. He's a member of the Minnesota North Stars. He's a member of the Dallas Stars. Yuri Lehtinen was drafted, if I remember correctly, when we were in Minnesota, either Bobby Clark or it was 93, 94, but it was close. I won't remember right now, and so don't hold me to this. But Lehtinen was as important a player to our cause as we've ever had. And Sergei Zubov was the best player I ever watched, night in and night out, period, end of sentence. The reason we have all the awards and all the accolades, not exclusively, but with Sergei Zubov. We had everybody else. I wrote a piece a long time ago, and I'll repost it on Substack, about the Zubov effect, and I used, you know, really basic analytics on what happened to the power play when he got here, what happened to the penalty kill, what happened to goals against, what happened to goals for, and every metric was just pushed through the roof, right? When he left, immediately, you know, Marty Turco's numbers went into the can, power play was horrible, and the penalty kill suffered. He was the one guy you couldn't be without, those big stud defensemen. You know, I guess because it has to be a player now, and he's coming up on some big marks and things, Jamie Benn. In terms of a Dallas perspective, Jamie's been an important player, but he doesn't have the skins on the wall, in my view, in terms of team success. He had the Calder that year, but it was a year when, and I'm not minimizing it.
Yeah.
I think he won the Calder with 83 points or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it was back in the day when they were still trying to figure out, you know, are we going to let people score or not here? And they still try and figure, that's the NHL. And we'll get more into that with my Substack posts. But I mean, I'm okay with that list.
Okay.
So you want me to add a player?
Well, I'll just say, you know, Lehtinen had 720 goal seasons, three Selkies, but Sean said, totally understand the Yuri Lehtinen. Makes sense.
Yeah.
He said, but from an emotional standpoint, being the first American captain, Darian Hatcher,
yeah,
certainly should maybe carve some stone and fit him in.
You know, I don't know. And the reason I don't know about that is Hatch was a really good player for us, right? But he was at a time when we had so many good players and so many leaders and so many, you know, vocal, not vocal. It was sort of leadership by committee in those days. The team had it. Ken Hitchcock has a great expression. You know, during training camp, the team's 100% mine. In March, it better be 100% theirs or we're not winning anything. So that group really came together. I mean, when you have all those former captains, you know, you had Guy Carboneau, you had Craig Ludwig, you had you had all these guys who had leadership roles, and Darian had so much support. You know, I mean, not to minimize, but when you win, when you have the glory days, everybody's number should hang in the rafters.
Yeah.
You know, that's not true. But that's how we look at it. I love Hatch. He's one of my favorite people in the world. I'm writing a post this week on Ralph Stack, Substack. I'm Ralph Strangis. I have a Substack coming out this week. I'm here with Gavin Spittle, and I'm doing the reset.
Yeah, I know.
And so
what's
right?
Happening? This
so,
is great.
So my post this week in under my Here's Why segment is Here's Why category is Here's Why Darian Hatcher is the best captain in Star, my favorite captain in Stars history. But it's got nothing to do with him on the ice. There's some really funny stories, and I'm going to tell them this week. I would say Ralph Strangis says Yuri Lehtinen was probably more important, not more important, equally as important as Darian, but I would have him on the list before Darian on Mount Rushmore, just because the way we played in Ken Hitchcock's system, he had to be there. He had to be on that line in those days to make Madonna and Hull operate. He did all the work. You know, those two got the points, and he did the work. First guy back defensively, digging pucks out of corners, doing those things. And so I think because of the dynamic of that offense, if Lehtinen was not up front, we would have had a lot of trouble.
You know, Luds and I would say for a good year and a half, like, man, they need a statue in front of the AAC for Madonna. And Luds would tell these amazing stories about Mike. And I always hated it when, before the statue came out, where if he posted, there was one post where he was in Minnesota taking pictures with his kids and people went after him, calling him a traitor. I mean, the guy wanted to be in the organization. It just didn't work out. And to me,
I wanted to be in the organization. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree with that.
That's we'll leave it at that.
That's it.
We'll leave it
and
at
Billy,
that.
And Billy hired him. You know, Billy hired him in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
And Mike's, you know, and Mike has value. The two places Mike has the most value, number one, not close, Dallas, Texas. That's it. That's it. That Mike Modano is not carrying the water in Dallas. Is not a favorable outcome in my view. The other place he has standing is Minnesota.
Yep.
And, you know, and I think the trouble is there is such visceral response on a Dallas Stars fan's point of view to the Minnesota fan. And that's been created by the Minnesota fans, you know, being extremely upset for a very long time and still upset. And I know fans who go from Dallas to Minnesota to sit at the X during playoff games. And the stories they tell me about how difficult that fan base is on Dallas Stars fans in, you know, in horrible, violent, in some cases, you know, yelling and screaming, going into the bathroom and following them around, like these kinds of things. So the fans, clearly the fan bases have kind of a feud there. And so when Mike stepped into that other realm, the fans who, you know, think one thing and one thing all the time, you know, that oh my God, Mike has defected. Mike hasn't defected. This is business.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where he went. I would like to see Mike Modano back in Dallas.
Well, I think
that's Ralph Strandis' opinion.
I wanted to see how it affected you emotionally because, Craig, one of the things we talked about was it's tough enough being a professional athlete, but moving to a new city and then asked and gladly taking the torch as far as being an ambassador. I mean, you were in that situation as well, Ralph, coming to a new town, and you almost have to teach the game as the announcer. You're one of the faces of the franchise. So you were basically starting from ground up, which I think is, you know, you are one of the few players that can or people that can say that. And emotionally, when you saw that statue, how did it affect you?
Well, I haven't seen it in person yet.
Okay.
But when I saw it, It's beautiful.
It is.
And the statue, the guy who makes the statues, I mean, that's a great story too, right? So he's, you know about this?
No, tell us.
Well, my understanding is when the Chicago Bulls were looking for someone to do the Michael Jordan statue, they put it out open to the public. And a guy who had never done a statue before won the bid. And if you've been in the United Center in the atrium there and you've seen that Michael Jordan statue, it's magnificent. My understanding is this is the same guy and he does all of these. That statue with the color on it and the detail, and that's Mike, and the jersey flap.
Yeah. You
know, that's Mike to look at that. And, you know, it's almost like if he didn't have one, I'd say, why is there no statue for Mike? It's the biggest no-brainer that franchise has.
Agreed.
Right? And they did it, you know, and it's beautiful. But it, you know, it gets complicated. People in Minnesota want to blame Norm Green and the Dallas Stars. I always say to people in Minnesota, why would you blame the new guy who had to take over that pile of shit, right? Why don't you blame the drafting? Let me tell you something. Minnesota fans, if you're around, or Dallas fans, you go look at the drafting that the North Stars did from 1980-ish till Norm Green bought the team in 1990-91. You've never seen a bigger calamity of a mess of screwing drafts up year after year after year. No marketing. I'm going to write a piece this week, too, in Substack, my first opening night. There were, in 1990-91, Norm Green bought the team. I went to open it. There were 4,400 people in the building at Met Center.
Ooh.
Okay? Yeah. That was when we moved, we had something like 3,000 season ticket holders that filled about 7,000 seats. The year after we went to the Stanley Cup final in 91, we lost season ticket holders. It was a very strange dynamic there. And, you know, for people to look back on it in sort of this Panglossian view that, boy, we really had a great team out there. Nobody went. The building was in the middle of nowhere. They never attached themselves marketing-wise to the rest of the Minnesota hockey product. The Gophers weren't part of it. The high school tournament, they lost the Minnesota State High School Tournament at Met Center. They lost it to St. Paul. And that franchise was really hanging on by a thread. No local ownership wanted it. You know, there was no one in Minnesota that wanted to keep that team in the Twin Cities. So a guy named Howard Baldwin sets up the deal. A real estate developer from Calgary buys the team, and people say, oh my gosh, how come these people won't stay? Well, guess what? You know, they don't have the rose-colored glasses that other Minnesota people have. They can't make money there. And so they moved on. So, yeah, I mean, it's a complicated story, but I'm going to be telling that story, in my view, over this season through a series of posts about what it was like then, how the franchise relocated, what happened when we got to Texas. And as you mentioned, some of those early days, I went to so many little churches and Rotary clubs, Lions clubs, and all of that. I took Mike Modano to Target, okay, for a signing like probably in June or July that year in 93. There was nobody there. Nobody knew who this guy was. He and I are standing there looking at the furniture, and somebody came over and said, Mike, we got an opportunity for you to furnish your house with Target furnishings. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. But I remember those things, you know, like it was a really crazy time. But through change of ownership, Tom Hicks, through a great deal of success inspired by Tom and Bob Gainey and Ken Hitchcock and all of those things, and an open market where the Cowboys had finished their run, the Mavericks weren't any good, and the Rangers were this team playing out in Arlington that nobody watched, we filled the void. And we all benefited greatly from that. But Mike led the way. Mike was the guy, and he never put us in any trouble, any peril. You know, he's for being Mike Modano, he handled it about as great as I've ever seen anybody handle something like that.
All right, so love this straight shooting that you're throwing at us. Stars now have a Hall of Fame. Did it cross your mind that maybe Ralph Strangis can go in?
Listen, look. They can do whatever they like, okay? It's not my decision. It's not my call.
This is your chance.
I've always said no. Well, I've always said this. Gavin, I've always said, if I was the commissioner of any league, I'd do two things. No All-Star games, no Halls of Fame, okay? Halls of Fame are extremely political. See Pete Rose. You're voted in. You're voted in by writers. You're voted in by this, and all of those things. There's one Hall of Fame that's merit based. Do you know what it is? One sports Hall of Fame that's merit based only.
Wow. Not sure.
The LPGA.
That is true. Yes, I actually did know that because Lydia Ko just got in, and I'm a big LPGA fan. Yeah,
right. That 26 or 27 points. It's what did you win? Did you the majors? There's a whole category of stuff. They don't ask what kind of a guy were you, what kind of a this were you, what kind of a that were you. I am very thankful for the 25 years I had in Dallas. I'm not looking to get in anybody's anything, okay? That's up to them, all right? It's their Hall of Fame. I don't work there anymore. So if they do it, that's up to them.
Okay.
If they don't do it, I'll keep pumping along here, buddy boy. And my life will still continue as normal.
And he'll be keep putting out articles on Ralph Stack, the new Substack by Ralph Strangis. All right.
Thank you.
Of course. Yeah. I had to get my hosting duties back from you.
Thank you.
So, all right. Current stars. Yesterday, Jeremy Swayman goes 8 for 8.25, signing with the Bruins. Yeah. A lot of controversy, but gets the deal done. Yuri Saros, about $7.75 million. Interesting to see the year that Jake Oettinger has. The Minnesota native, I mean, looked really good in the playoffs. To me, if I'm Jim Nill and they might want to wait till after the season, I'm approaching their agent right now and say 8 for 8.
Yeah, well, okay, so I'm. This is the one thing where me and the Stars fans are probably going to be a little bit at odds over. I'm not a huge Oettinger guy.
Really? All right, explain.
I like him. I like him. I don't love him. He's a nice kid. From Minnesota, he's a Vikings fan. That counts a lot in my book. But when I watched goaltenders who won cups, not had a nice playoff run, they do things that Oettinger hasn't done yet. Goalies that win cups for their teams steal at least one game in a series, at least one, sometimes two. What I've noticed about Oettinger is he makes his team play more games than they should. He doesn't come out and make statement games, especially early in series, where it's like, okay, let's go. They fell behind 0-2 last year, right, in the opening round. And so right away you're like, we're behind it. So now this series has to go at least 6 or 7. Teams that win cups get out fairly quickly in those opening round series. But for the Calgary series, 3 years ago, the big performance in Game 7, the whatever, and he lost the series. Right? So people kind of forget that. He made that big bet, but he lost the series. I'm not saying it was on him, but he lost the series. I'm still waiting to see what he can do. And to me, he's too erratic. You can't count on him to shut the door. Not this spring, but the spring before. When things happen, I remember in Seattle when they suffered, who got injured there? Was it Klingberg or somebody or Haskinen or somebody? And things go from bad to worse pretty quickly. Now's the time the goalie has to make 3 saves. He doesn't. I also want to see a goalie who would kill for a puck, who would battle for a puck, who would, scrum for a puck. Oettinger, to me, relies too much on his positioning. He's standing there. The puck goes in. And I kind of think he's going, well, I was in the right place, wasn't I? How did that puck go in? You watch Bobrovsky. I mean, he'll crawl over broken glass to get to that puck. He'll fight to get to that puck. He'll put himself through hell to get to that puck. And you look over the years, you look at guys like Eddie Belfour, Dominic Hasek, Martin Brodeur, all the big Andrei Vasilevsky. You look at these guys, they are battlers, man. They get in there and it is apparent. Belfour was always in position, always economically moving, but you got in there, you're in deep shit. You got anywhere close to Eddie Belfour, he was going to tell you that doesn't go anymore. So to me, until he can get them through it, he got outplayed by Skinner this year, by the Vegas goaltenders the year before. And I know people say, well, it's not the reason we lost. It didn't help you. The way he played against those teams, I am not yet ready to hand the keys and big money to Jake Oettinger. I'm not. I also, on the back end of that, have the, okay, so then what? I don't know then what. Is there a better option out there? Is there I play the what-ifs in my head, and I think if the Stars had Connor Hellebuck, this would be over. They'd cruise. But I'm not there yet with you.
Okay.
So, okay, Stars fans, prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
All right, last year of the deal for Wyatt Johnston. Your thoughts on the youngster?
Oh, gosh, what a player he is, man. Huh? What a player he is. I love their forwards. Their drafting, Dallas's drafting and development is almost like no other in the National Hockey League.
It's amazing.
Giving credit where credit is due. I'm not yet in on Oettinger. I'm in on so much that they're doing. I mean, you get these guys and, it's still old guard stuff, which is, well, Stankoven's not ready. Well, Maverick Bork's not ready. Well, all they got to go down the minors and, they'll play, you know, or when they come up here, they got to play bottom 6 minutes. And, you know, like, what? What? You watch Stankoven. You know, I watched Stankoven for about two games last year, and I said, why hasn't this guy been there all year? What are they doing? You know, and then now I see Bork. I'm like, where the hell's Bork been? And now I see, you know, and now the defenseman.
Bissell.
Yeah, Bissell. I mean, oh, my God. He's a player already.
Yeah.
Jim Neal comes from Detroit. Everybody goes to the minors, even Pavel Datsyuk and Sergei Fedorov. So I get it. And their development is great. But I think they've got so much. I think they're the deepest team in hockey. I think I got to see how the blue line comes together this year. And I'm on the Dumba watch. You're going to have to live with some stuff with Dumba.
Yeah.
You're going to have to live with stuff. And we'll see how the fans are about that. But this team, to me, if I was handicapping it, is one of the three teams, that my three favorites to win the Stanley Cup this year. I think they can win the Cup. I need Ottinger to not make them play extra games. And other than that, they got every ingredient you need, a mix of young and old, motivated guys. You know, I want to watch DeBoer too. He stuck with Pavelski way too long. That was a big mistake, a huge mistake from my view. That was part of what killed them in the playoffs. They got nothing and, in fact, were hurt by Joe Pavelski being in the lineup every night in the playoffs.
How excited
Other
are you?
Other than that, they're awesome.
Are you intrigued that there's a team in Utah now?
I don't know. You know, that group, I don't know. It's still the Coyotes, isn't it? Like I will tell many others.
And our friend David Castillo is like, oh, all right. I think Utah will be in the mix for the wild card. I'm not saying they're going to be in, but they're going to be in the mix because I love their decor. I like their goaltending.
Yep.
You know, I like some of their offense. Clayton Keller's really good. They have some nice pieces. So, it may sound cheesy and it's not analytical based, but for some reason, when teams either start or
There's something about
the attitude and the adrenaline, and now all of a sudden you're going from playing in front of 5,000 fans to a packed arena that absolutely adores you.
Yeah, and that's really a big part of the equation here for Utah. When you think about, not every team has come from hell as their last spot.
Yeah.
To a quality NHL operation. They were in hell pretty much since the time they were there. I'm a big Gary Bettman fan, and we can go into that someday. And one of the things Bettman was trying to hang on to was that number six television market in the United States. It's huge. He didn't want to abandon it. He wanted to stay there. He tried everything. But in my view, he just, you know, it was Ahab, right? And the whale, he just wouldn't stop the chase. And finally, after they're playing in a 5,000-seat arena, And all of those other things, and they don't have a TV contract and all that. He went, all right, the hell with it. You guys are done. So yes, I think in terms of, does that franchise now, the coaches and the players have a much better worldview, and are they excited to go to work every morning in a way that they weren't before? Hell yes. Will it make a difference? I think so too. So I think yes, they'll be improved. They got a decent team there, and we'll just have to see. Very competitive Western Conference though, right? Competitive time, so we'll have
great.
To see.
Yeah, it's absolutely
that's
great.
That's the only reason. Like, yeah, but otherwise, I'm with you. I think that'll help them a lot.
Okay, so the Substack, Ralph mentions on his first Ralph Stack article, so go to Substack.com and you can sign up to read Ralph's stuff. A lot of audio, a lot of cool stuff. Stars hockey, NHL satire, betting hockey props. He says we're going to do some damage. I'm fascinated by that. NFL Vikings fantasy. I mean, he's got to get his Vikings love in. I mean, how can you not this year? Inside sports broadcast and reviews, critiques, observations. All right, the geek in me is all in for that. Ralph Isamings. Words and phrases told through stories of my broadcasts and life experience. And here's why, a section where I explain how things work and how I see them. Will you do an article on favorite barns and least favorite barns, because you've been to some good ones and some not so good ones?
Yes. Well, yes. Fire Ready Aim, the National Hockey League. Yes, it's been, I think I broadcast, Gavin, the odd count was about 85. I did NHL hockey in 85 buildings.
Wow.
Over 30 years. Yeah. So, but I was also there during all the big changeover. All the new buildings came in, right? The old ones were destroyed. And I got to work in the old Montreal Forum. We played the last game there. I'll have a piece about that. We closed the Montreal Forum. I had a, every old building, but Detroit. I did the old Maple Leaf Gardens, the Chicago Stadium, which is still the best place I ever went to watch a hockey game, and on and on and on and on and on. So, yeah, I will be that. That's interesting. And I will be open to, there's going to be a lot of live chats, a lot of ask me anything, and a lot of mailbag, and suggest something you want to know about. Like where was I, or what thing did you hear, or what have you always wanted to know about me or the Stars at a particular point in time? And it's sort of like I'm writing my memoirs on Substack, right?
Yeah.
And so people can get it drip at a time. And I think I got a lot of interesting things to say. I think the Devil's Dictionary hockey posts will be, you're going to be quite entertained by this. I want to approach the NHL a little bit satirically, because we have a lot of the same phrases. We all say the same thing. They all say the same thing. Where did these phrases come from? What do they mean? And the first post that's going to launch October 8th is the big one is going to be the Devil's Hockey Dictionary Part 1. And so that's all I'm going to say about it. But you and everybody else is going to want to see it. And then I think my phone's going to ring, and I think there's going to be people going, what? Whatever. I don't care, right? I don't care.
You're unfiltered. I love it.
I never really, Gavin, here's the thing, okay? I never cared what happened to me. I never care what happens to me. I cared about the people I worked with. And I know that sounds cheesy or self-serving or something, but I never gave a shit. I really didn't. I took heat for people. I got yelled at for people. And I never cared about it. And the world like that doesn't really understand people like me, I don't think. And I don't understand corporate culture in the world. I'm not a fit there. You know?
So before we go, because I know people will ask this, so I need to ask, your current relationship with the Stars organization, you said not bad, not good. Your current relationship with announcers, everything okay?
With what announcers?
Let's say you and Razor. Because I know that was such an iconic pairing.
Yeah, no, I think we're fine. The last time I saw him was the Zuboff thing. I think I maybe run into him. I went to a game or two, but I saw him at the Zuboff thing, and we had a nice moment on stage there. That was really nice.
Good.
He's an extremely talented guy.
Yes, very talented.
Razor and I are fine. People look at that, and that's not it.
People jump to conclusions. And that's why
That really wasn't it. No. Razor and I are just fine. It's complicated. So the Stars, Dan Stuckel, the director of marketing, is one of my oldest, dearest friends. I speak with him pretty regularly. Mark Janko, the assistant GM, he and I go so far back. We probably talk once or twice a year. And when we do, we fall right back into, hey, how you doing? And Stretch, Jason Rodeman, the team services guy, he and I probably text half a dozen times weekly over, he's a big Philly guy, I'm a big Minnesota guy. We always text each other with stuff. And that's kind of the extent of it. They've got a business to run.
Yeah.
Dallas Stars have a business to run, and I'm not part of it. They focus on what they have and their immediate needs and all of that. I don't want to be, sort of the poking around there, the guy who used to be there, but I've got a lot of great stories and points of view from my time there and my observations of the league and hockey in general since I've gone. I don't think the league asks enough critical questions of itself in terms of, should we keep doing things this way? Should we change our approach on some things? And I'm going to approach that tongue in cheek, satirically, sarcastically, and fun. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm not here to, tear down anybody, although I can see myself sometimes getting a little bit emotional about things, but I'm emotional about everything. That's who I am, you know? And I enjoy my life right now, Gavin.
Yeah, I can tell.
And I've worked for a lot of different people. And since I left the Stars, I've done the Olympics in Pyeongchang. I did 7 outdoor games, 4 Winter Classics, Global Series in Prague, Berlin, and Lausanne in 2019. I opened the last one in Prague for the NHL Network. I did 30 games for the LA Kings in 2016-17. I consulted with the Chicago Blackhawks, and I did my last NHL play-by-play game was for them. I started the first sports media program here at College of the Desert in the Coachella Valley. I've been on stage. I've directed a play. So I've done a lot of stuff, and I want to talk about that.
Yeah, no, that's pretty awesome. You bring up Coachella Valley. Cole Lind has impressed a lot of people. I mean, what's it like hockey in Coachella Valley?
Can I tell you? They got a nice thing going here.
It seems.
Acrisure. Acrisure. Well, here. In the wintertime here, we have snowbirds. Where are most of these snowbirds from? They're from Calgary, Edmonton, Seattle. Okay. Lots of people. I mean, it is packed with people like that. Minnesota, Michigan. Everybody who comes here is kind of a hockey fan. And so for Seattle, this is their American Hockey League affiliate. And they've been to the Calder Cup Finals the last 2 years, lost both times to Hershey. The building is sold out every night, holds about 10,000. It's a beautiful, nice building. They have great concerts event there because Irving Azoff is a big holder, stakeholder here. So all the big shows have to come through Acrisure Arena. It's an amazing little town here. And I watched Cole. I saw Decord and Cartier and the defenseman, Riker Evans, who's up there now in Seattle. So it's really been fun. I'm having lunch next week again with the play-by-play guy here. He and I are friends, the radio play-by-play guy. Grant Fuhrer does the color. You know, it's a nice community of hockey here. Ken Hitchcock lives out here. We play golf. He just got here last week. Hitch and I probably play golf once or twice a week during the winter. And Babcock comes and joins us sometimes. Ganey, when he comes in town, plays golf with us. You know, we have a nice community out here. So I kind of feel at home with a lot of these hockey people. And, it's just fun. Yeah, it's really good.
That's good. Well, I'm a big fan of the area, so I will knock on your door when I come.
Please do. We have accommodations here. Your friend David Castillo just spent the weekend. He's part of my team to help me get up and running. I have a marketing director here who's the marketing director at Acrisure Arena. She was my TA at when I taught the class. So, and I've got other people I'm bringing in. So it's we have a real operation here with plans for a podcast and a YouTube show.
Nice.
That is going to air on weeknights, on occasional weeknights where hockey is being played and between periods or pregame. And it might actually focus around some of the Stars stuff.
Love it.
So I'm really excited. And I've got some really good people for that. People that you know and some people, the national people that are going to be contributors. So I'm really excited about this season. I'm going to have a lot of fun.
Well, you're always welcome here to come on and promote the Substack. And it's called Ralph's Stack. So go to Substack.com and let's all support the man who gave us 25 years of his voice. And we truly appreciate you joining us today. This has been a lot of fun, my friend.
Thanks, Gavin. Anytime. Thank you very much. And thanks to the fans out there who've already shown me so much love again. And I can't wait to start having some fun with you guys.
Absolutely. We're making our way towards Thursday. Friends, we'll be back with another episode soon of Spits and Suds right here on 105.3 The Fan. Have a great day, everyone.